Christmas. Thank you, Father. Why don't you just remain standing? Just lift your hands to Jesus, Father. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in this room, Father. Spirit of truth, we thank you that you reveal the issues of our hearts, Father. And Holy Spirit, I just pray right now, Father, that you will minister to every single heart in this room, Father. Yes. Father, you know what each one of us needs, Father. You know, Father, the thoughts that are going through our hearts and our minds right now in this very moment. I thank you, Father, that your word, Father, brings freedom, it brings deliverance, Father, and it is the truth. So right now, the Spirit of truth, we thank you that you're in this place and we receive from you, Father. We receive from your heavenly throne, and we thank you, Father, for this day, Father, and this time, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Wow. What an awesome worship, wasn't that? Wow. Praise God. So, I believe that we are in a new season. I don't know about you, but I believe in a new season. And God works in seasons, doesn't he? We've just had winter, and we're now in this place of the beautiful spring, and I love the spring. Yes. Partly because it's my birthday in the spring. So it's gone, if some of you, just in case you want to give me a present, 11th of March. I also got married in the spring. There's still an opportunity. Yes, absolutely, yes. And it's just, there's just something beautiful about the spring, isn't there? And we've got all the flowers and things are blossoming and it's light when you sort of leave, at home in the morning. And it's just nice. And there's that sense. And I just have this excitement in my spirit that God is doing something new and something fresh in our lives. And one of the words that God spoke to me, he gave me two words over this year. And one of them was from Isaiah. You don't have to go there. I'm just going to quote it. But it's Isaiah 43, verse 18. And it says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even," listen to this, "I will even make the road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And I've been standing on this word, and I've promised some of you have already heard me quoting it quite a few times, because I just believe that God is going to do something new. And I don't know about you, but roads in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, for me, that's a miracle, isn't it? Yes. I mean, normally when you're in the desert, that's a place that, you know, that represents dryness, doesn't it? That's the wilderness. But God himself will make rivers in the desert. So wherever you are right now, and you're thinking, oh, you know what, God, I haven't had my breakthrough yet, or God, I'm just still waiting. Just pursue God, because God's got something great for all of you. But it's like what Jennifer said this morning in worship. It's, we've got to tap into God. You know, God is here, but we've got to say, you know what, God, I am ready to receive from you. God, I am here to receive the fullness of what you have for me. And God, I am here to expect roads in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So are you with me so far? Yeah. Praise God. Good. So it's an incredible year. It's the year of go. And I was all set up for just preparing a powerful word of encouragement. And God has been starting to speak to me this week just about my heart. And I thought, oh, God, we've got a pastor that is the soul doctor, and she's all about the heart. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what are you speaking to me about? But he has just really, he's been speaking to me about the importance of, when we need to go into this new season, there's some stuff that needs to be done. And we're on a journey, aren't we? And some of you are already in there, and some of you, there's this stuff behind, but I believe this is a word for all of us, actually. And, you know, sometimes there's things in our hearts that can just, create a little bit of a disconnect with God. And I'm not saying you're not hearing from him, but there's sometimes there's stuff in your heart, and you know what, this is something that's not right. And I've had a great year so far. You know, God has been able to use me in ministry, and went to Denmark, and it's the year of go, and it's all exciting, and I was in a good place. But suddenly God started just to point out some areas in my life, and I was like, oh, right, okay. And you know how sometimes it's like that becomes the very thing that consumes you, because you know that if you don't deal with this particular thing, it's difficult to move on to the next. And this week in particular, God has just been speaking to me about my heart. And he started to point out just things that were just not right. And I thought, oh gosh, I've been sort of over there. But he just started to sort of point out some things. And one of the particular situations was I managed quite a few people. And there's just one, there's always one, isn't there? And this girl, bless her. And, you know, I would love to take her to Hill for Life. For free, yes. And but you know, sometimes it's very important that you see people the way it's of eyes, the eyes of God, because sometimes people can become a bit of a project, can't they? And you just want to fix them and sort them out. And it's really important. I'm just being honest here, okay? Can we do that on a Sunday morning? Yes. Good. There was just some things that I needed to address, and I'm obviously, if you're managing someone, you have to address. So I was kind of thinking, well, that's good, because I need to sort these things out. And just by Thursday night, I just knew that my heart was just not right. And I mean, she might have, to be honest, she probably would have expected it. Sometimes I'm quite good at hiding things, but sometimes it's like, and just by Thursday night, I just had to go before the Lord and say, I am so sorry, because. I'd got so frustrated with her, and my heart had really hardened towards her. And, you know, I'm supposed to be the good Christian leader here. And I could just tell that, and I just had to repent before God. And God, obviously, with his grace and his mercy, he forgave me. And then he said one thing to me, and tomorrow is the day where you're going to give her a bonus. It's like, what? What? I was like, well, and he spoke to me a couple of weeks ago about just giving her a bonus, and I just felt the time wasn't right, and I was sort of waiting around, and I was thinking, oh, you know, she probably needs to prove a bit more, and he just said, you've got to give it to her. So I had to just type this thing up, go into the room, and you know sometimes when you want to give somebody something, you know, you want to say, here you are, but... And I just knew that I had just had to bless her, and I just had to speak words of encouragement. And God really taught me a lesson there, that despite, you know, her situation, despite her actually not delivering, and obviously, you know, we need to give people bonus when they're delivering, but she'd done a piece of work previously for me, and that's what I want to give it to her for. But it's so important in every area of our lives that we constantly check our hearts and make sure, God, what are our motives? What are the things that can become a blockage in my life in order for me to receive the blessing? Because I know that I, you know, she's, you know, in a lot of people's eyes, just a small person. But in God's eyes, she's everything. Wow. And I need to treat her like I want to treat our high performers or my husband or anyone else, because God cares about her. So for me, that was a real real eye-opener. And God has started to speak to me about my heart. And he said, how is the state of your heart? And I want to ask you that question this morning. How is the state of your heart? It's interesting. There's lots of different expressions, isn't there, that people can say that they have a heavy heart. Or they can say that they have, you know, they have the heart in the right place. It's interesting, isn't it, those phrases that we say. We just talk about it without thinking about it. And also starting a bit about the heart, because obviously our heart is a vital organ, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a pump, yes. I'm not a sort of a biologist or a doctor, but I know for the fact that our heart is quite important. And I was just reading a few facts about our heart. It's a vital organ, and there are 75 trillion cells that receive blood from the heart. Wow. And your heart will pump nearly 1.5 million barrels of blood during a lifetime. That's a lot, isn't it? That's enough to fill 200 train tank cars. Wow. And your heart beats over 100,000 times a day. Wow. I didn't know this. So that's quite incredible, isn't it? So your heart is crucial, isn't it? It's a vital organ. And we know the importance of our physical heart, but our spiritual heart is as important. And, you know, we need to treat it in the same way as we treat our physical heart. And that's why it's important to exercise, isn't it? And all the people said, amen. Amen. And we should eat healthily. And we should look after our body, but we should also look after our spiritual body and our heart. And it's interesting, when you study the heart, you know, the Bible says that we believe with our heart, don't we? In Romans 10:10, that it's with our heart that we believe to righteousness, and it's with our mouth that we confess. So our heart is important. And in Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Yes. Did you notice those three words first? Above all else. Yes. Above all else, guard your heart. So in the same way that you have to guard and protect your heart and look after your body, you need to guard your heart, your inner heart. And it's so important that we constantly look at our heart, because it's something that we can do it for seasons, and then we can kind of move on. I don't know how you feel, but you go from victory to victory, and then there's a phase in your life where you're doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But then God always he brings me back to my heart, because often if there's stuff that I feel that I'm not moving forward in, it's because there's some things that has affected me. And it can be lots of different things, and we're going to look into some of those today. And I believe that there's as I said in the beginning, that we are going in for there's a great breakthrough for us, and it's springtime, and God got something new, but we've got to make sure that we're ready for it. Okay, so are you with me?
Yes,
yes. Good, great. So when I had my a little sort of encounter with God on Thursday night and pouring out my heart to him, one of the things that God reminded me of was interesting, and it was the script in Colossians 3:14 where he says, put on love. And it's so interesting, isn't it, that we need to speak to our heart, and because our heart can speak back, and it's with the heart that we believe. So in Colossians 3:14, it says, above all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And in the New Living, it says, clothe yourself with love. And what's interesting about that, that's not something that just comes, is it? It's not like suddenly you just feel the love. I definitely didn't feel it there. I just got to be honest. And the times sometimes in our life that we don't feel like pouring out our heart to God, or we know, and it's interesting, isn't it, as human beings, we always want to do 10 other things before we go to the root. You know, we have all these excuses. God, I'm serving you right now. And, you know, we can sometimes be so busy serving God that we forget dealing with what he's asked us to deal with. And some of you are sitting here thinking, you know, I'm not feeling that I'm moving forward, but there's a very specific area of your life that God wants you to deal with. So I just want to encourage you right now, just to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you throughout this word, that he will start highlighting things. And I know that he will, because he started to speak to me about just how he's going to just put a light on our heart, and he will show us what it is. And, you know, sometimes we have all these preconceived ideas as well about what it is. But just allow God just to minister to you, because sometimes we think we've got it, but actually there's a root to it. This is something completely different. So I'm always conscious about going back to what is it, God, that is the root of it. So the reason why I shared that scripture about put on love was that God said that I don't have a tender heart. Wow. I was like, wow, that's quite harsh. I think I'm quite tender. What does a tender heart mean? A tender heart is moved by love and compassion. And I thought, well, God, I'm quite compassionate. But there's certain people that are easy to be compassionate with, isn't there? Certain people, and sometimes we have our hobby horses, don't we? You know, I have a compassion for the big issue man outside Sainsbury's where I live. You know, I just there's something about this man. I always just bless him and buy his magazine and speak to him and just want to, because there's my heart is right to hold I have compassion towards this man. And you know, we can't be picky about who we want to be compassionate about. We can't. Silence. You know, we need to be compassionate for all people. It says this first, in 1 Peter 3:8 in the New Living Version, it says, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. And in Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Wow. Be tender-hearted. And the opposite of it, sometimes it's easier to kind of define what it is against what the opposite. And the opposite of a tender heart is a hard heart. Because when I was just seeking God and I was just asking him, you know, what is it in my heart? And he said that my heart had become hard. And there was a small seed and it was this particular person, but that had affected my heart. And you see, sometimes we think, you know, it's something completely else. When God brings you back to the root and starts sharing with you, you know, it's so important that we just allow him just to reveal what it is that we can deal with it. And a hard heart, and hands on your heart. I mean, how many in here would say that they have a hard heart? Well, that's more than I would expect because, three hands there? Because we generally would think, you know, I'm not hard. I don't know. Hand on your heart, how many, I mean, you don't have to sort of raise your hands, but just think about this question. How many in here think they've got a hard heart? Is this a bit too real for Sunday morning? Good? You know, I would generally think myself as I'm a nice person. I think I am, most of the time. But God started to show me that my heart was hardened. And you know the scripture in Jeremiah 17 says that a heart is deceitful above all things and it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, searches the heart. So when I read that and I think, well, if that's our hearts, that's not just a few hearts. If our hearts are deceitful, well, that means that will be sort of all of us, wouldn't it? That we can all have hard hearts. And it's not just those people who feel that a bit harsh, but actually that we can have a hardened heart, and it can be towards many things and people, and often it's towards God. And how do we get a hard heart? One of the things that God was showing me that one of the biggest areas is around, I mean, obviously it could be many things, but things that he wanted me to highlight today was around disappointment. And I don't know how you feel, but, you know, sometimes we can believe God. We believe him for great breakthroughs. And then sometimes you're waiting for it and you think, God, you know, I'm so excited about this. And it just doesn't happen. You know, some of you in here have been believing for jobs or visas or babies, and you're just still not seeing it yet. But it's so important when we are in that place of where we're waiting for the miracle to happen, because it's coming, isn't it? Yes. He's creating roads in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. But in the time when we're waiting, it's so important to really guard our hearts so we don't get disappointed. Because in Proverbs it says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. So if we're disappointed, our heart becomes sick. But it says after that, it says, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. So it's so important that we look after our heart. And one of the things that God has been speaking to me a lot about disappointment and how Actually, I thought, you know, I'm sort of somebody, you know, I'm already always believing God for the next step and, you know, and all the things. But God recently showed me how I'd had some disappointment that had affected me in my marriage. All good, went really quiet now, didn't it? I've got a wonderful husband. I believe God that God is using him in an incredible way. But there was this one thing that had made me really disappointed, and it was to do with finances and the property we'd moved into 5 years ago, and just some sort of arrangements around that had it been really, really difficult. And God started showing me how that I had become a blockage in our breakthrough because I'd had resentment in my heart. Wow. And I'm here thinking, why is he not getting promoted? Wow, women and the few men. You know, and I had just to go to God and say, Father, I am so sorry. And that very week when I just laid it all down, God just used my husband to bring, there was two financial breakthroughs. And I was like, wow. You know, and it's so interesting that just because in our heart, and I hadn't, honestly, my husband was the last person I thought I'd be resentful against. You know, how can you? I mean, those of you who met him, he's just the most incredible guy, you know? And so, you know, he can, you know, chat to everyone and, you know, he's such a loving man. But in my heart, I'd just been resentful and I just didn't know that. And that is why it's so important that we go back to God and say, God, if all is well, we know that prayer that Rebecca prayed, you know, why am I like this? What is it on the inside of me? You know, that was an area in my heart. There was a wicked part of my heart. And here I am, I'm a born-again believer, and I'm standing on a platform and preaching the gospel. But, you know, we have to be real to what it is. And disappointment is an area that can really affect us. Because it affects our hope. You know, if we had disappointment, it's very difficult to believe God. And, you know, hope is a forerunner of faith, isn't it? So if we haven't got hope, how can we have faith in God? How can we have trust in God that something is going to happen, that the breakthroughs are going to come? So I just believe that, you know, God this morning wants to deal with disappointment. And God is saying, you know, that there's nothing that is too big for him to resolve. But we've got to come back to that place of recognition. We're saying, Father God, I'm sorry that I've had this in my heart, that I've allowed this to fester. And, you know, there are so many stories in the Word about people that had disappointment and things that stopped them from moving forward. And One of the sort of areas that God led me back to was the Israelites. And I just always find it quite incredible that, you know, when the Jews were out in the desert and the mountains in Sinai, I've been to Sinai, it's actually, you know, you think it's a desert, but actually there's quite a lot of mountains. It's a beautiful place. I was just kind of thinking about the Israelites, and it's interesting, isn't it, that they saw miracles. I mean, they saw miracles often, didn't they? They had food coming down from heaven. I was thinking about Ruth's car. That's the equivalent of today. Back then, they had their sandals never wore out. Today, it's our car tires never wear out. It's good, isn't it? I hadn't thought of that. That's great. I have lights in my bathroom. I haven't changed them for the last 5 years. That counts, doesn't it? That's quite awesome. That's incredible. 5 years. Spotlights. I'll tell you where they're bought, by the way, afterwards. All these blessings, and, you know, they had some serious blessings, didn't they?
Yes.
Some awesome blessings. And yet, they didn't enter the promised land. And why was that? Because of their hearts. Because of unbelief. It says in Hebrews 3:15, it says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Wow. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And it says later on that in verse 19 of Hebrew 3, it says they did not enter the promised land because of unbelief. But I believe that the hardened hearts and the disappointments created unbelief in their hearts because they didn't trust God, yet they were in miracles. And you know, you can be here and you can see everyone else getting blessed and there's an atmosphere of breakthrough and transformation, and you can be there in all that and not receive from God because of your heart. And the Israelites had that experience. And it's interesting, isn't it? It says that heart is a rebellious heart. And again, you know, I don't consider myself as being rebellious. You know, I think that sort of people that are out on the streets and robbing banks and diamonds, you know, and, you know, I don't consider myself as a rebellious person. But when you go back to this, you know, if you harden your heart, you can be rebellious. And what does that do? It disconnects us from God. And that's why that testimony I had was interesting, that I hadn't received a breakthrough until I dealt with forgiving or dealing with issues with my husband. It's so connected, isn't it?
Yes.
So are you with me?
Yes.
Good. Just going a bit quiet on me. Good. It's very intense. It's good. It's good for Sunday morning, isn't it? So unbelief created that stopped them from receiving the breakthrough. So I believe that God wants to do a heart MOT before conquest, because I believe that we are entering into a season of breakthrough.
Amen.
And can we have a big amen?
Amen.
Praise God. A season of breakthrough. And in order to get into that, we've got to be ready. So I've got a little prop, actually, just because I've learned it's always good to have a prop. So it's a time of conquest. So I'm going to stand with this and I'm going to use it and then it can distract you a bit. So it's a time of conquest, okay? But in order to be effective and to be able to actually defeat the enemy, we've got to make sure the armor is right on the inside, okay? So what do we need to do? Well, before we go out, we need to sanctify our hearts. And there's a couple of scriptures I just want to share with you. The first one is from Ezekiel. And if you can go with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, and we read for 24. This is one of my favorite scriptures since becoming recently. And it just talks about a cleansing process but basically God spoke to Ezekiel that he was going to deliver this message to the people, that they had to do some instructions before they could receive their breakthrough. So if we read from Ezekiel 36 verse 24, it says here, "For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And I'll give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then," say then, "then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I'll be your God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and increase of your fields, that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations." Praise God. Wow, so there's some important principles here in the Word. And that is that process that Ezekiel is talking about, that God was giving them an instruction, that there's a process of cleansing. And I just believe that there's an opportunity for us this morning, and obviously, you know, as we go on, but that God is saying, you know, now's the time to deal with this stuff before the breakthrough. Now's the time just to allow yourself just to be cleansed before you can go on your conquest. Now's the time to remove those bits of your heart, those hard bits, the heart of stone, so we can get that heart of flesh. And I just believe that God is want to just to do that, so that you can go and get your land and you can dwell in it, and God will multiply you. It's awesome, isn't it? Praise God. And you know, before breakthrough, there's a sanctification. And what's interesting is that there's a similar pattern when you go to Joshua. Joshua was a mighty man of God. And obviously, I was mentioning the Israelites, that the Jews that were in the desert did not reach the promised land because of unbelief, and they had hardened their hearts. But God raised up a new generation. And you know what? I want to be that generation, like the Joshuas and the Calebs, that going out and looking at the land and saying, you know what? There might be some giants there, but I don't care, because God is for me. And I've got the sword, I've got the word, and I've got the command to go out, and he will fight for me. And that was the spirit that was in Joshua. And we had a place here where God has spoken to Joshua to get the people ready, because they were going to conquer the promised land. And this is an incredible testimony. We often talk about the division of the Red Sea with Moses, but I believe that the division of the fact that they could cross Jordan was an incredible testimony. And we're just going to read a little bit from this, from Joshua 3, verse 5. And it says here, "And Joshua said to the people, 'Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.'" Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow, this time, my people, the Lord will do wonders among you. Praise God. And then it continues, and God gives him instructions on how they're going to carry the ark. And they were going to take the people to cross through, you know, pass through Jordan. And it says here that it... And it was, I'll just read a little bit later on. It says from verse 14, "So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Saratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arab, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan." Thank you, Father. Let's give him a praise. Wow, that is an awesome testimony.
Yes.
And it's interesting, isn't it, that there was a condition. And I believe often that there's a condition. You know, God wants to bless us. God wants us to move forward, but we've got to make sure that we're right.
Yes.
That we have prepared ourselves so that we can get ready for this conquest. And here it says that they had to sanctify themselves. And what does sanctification mean? It basically means separation. Set yourself apart. You know, deal with the stuff that is in you, that is blocking you from moving forward. You know, we can't carry all this luggage when we're moving around. It's difficult to carry, isn't it, when you want to move. You know, and we shouldn't. And God wants to say to you this morning that, you know, it is time to separate yourself from the past. You know, it is time to separate yourself from the stuff that has been holding you back, the things, the issues of our heart. And the last person I just want to briefly touch on is David. You know, David was a man after God's heart. And I love David, because, you know, David messed up, but he had the right heart towards God. And that is what makes the difference. You know, in the time he was broken because he'd messed up. But it says that, you know, the Psalm 51, you know, "Create in me a clean heart, you know, God, and renew the right spirit in me. You know, cast me not away from your presence." That was David's prayer. You know, "Create in me a clean heart, Father." You know, and it says that in verse 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." You know, and a contrite heart is a repentant heart. You know, God will not despise a contrite heart. So there's two things I just want to encourage you this morning. And that is, first of all, just to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And if I could just borrow Carlene, that would be great if she's here. You know, there's two things we need. Because before we go out and kind of kill them all off, we've got to look at ourselves. So I just want you right now, just to where you're sitting yourself, just allow the Holy Spirit just to minister to you. Because the good thing is that we don't have to think our ways to do with these things. You know, we don't have to kind of come up with clever things. There's some very basic principles. And the first thing is to ask the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth. So right now, why don't you just ask the Holy Spirit just to reveal your heart. Just ask him to speak into your heart. It says in Psalm 51:6, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. You know, the beautiful thing about Joshua and Ezekiel and David was that they sought God first. And they taught us some important principles of separating ourselves and coming to that place where we say, you know what, God, I just want to let go of the issues. And you know, you might sit here and think, you know what, I don't really know what it is, but there's something that's blocking me from getting more closer to God. And I just believe that the Holy Spirit, as you just pray, that the Holy Spirit will just reveal to you what it is. You know, it can be disappointment, as I said, it can be things that has been said over your life, words that's been spoken, whatever it is. You know, things can hurt us, and it's so important that we get to the root and we allow God just to minister to us. The Spirit of truth, you desire truth in the inward parts. And another thing that's important also is that, you know, the Word of God is our two-edged sword. And it says that it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That is the Word of God. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. That's in Hebrews 4:12. And then it says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find favor to help in the time of need. And God is saying that this is a time where you will find favor, that you can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. And as you've just sat here, why don't you just rise to your feet? Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is a two-edged sword, Father. And your word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, Father. And you show us what are the things that are stopping us, Father, from moving forward into the breakthroughs that you have for us, Father. And Father, I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you will just speak to our hearts, that you will show us what it is, Father, that is stopping us. And for me, it was just the way I was treating a member of staff. You know, sometimes we think we're fine and we know there's just those little bits, but God is saying, you know, the small bits and the big bits, for me, it doesn't matter what it is. But we got to come open to him. So right now, Holy Spirit, just right now, just the thing we need to do is just to come to God and say, Father, I am sorry. I am so sorry for allowing my heart to be hardened. You know, some of you've had a hard heart, and it's been because of your, you know, stuff that's happened in your life. But God is saying right now that I want to give you a tender heart. I want to give you that heart of flesh. So right now, just speak to God and just allow him just to minister to you. And it's so important that we come to him and we repent from the issues. And some of you may need to forgive some people. So Father, right now we just come to you. And Father, we say, have your way in our lives. Have your way, Father. Thank you, Father. It says in Jeremiah 17:10, the Lord searches the heart and he tests the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And Father, I thank you that you want to bless us, that you want to give us fullness of life, and you want us to conquer. You want us to receive our breakthroughs. And as we have just laid the issues of our heart, Father, we've laid them down to you and we have repented, Father, I just thank you that you would come in your fullness. I thank that you would bring new life, Father. And I believe that God will bring new life to dreams in here right now. That there are dreams that you had, because of disappointment, because of circumstance, that you had just laid down. But God is saying, it is time to resurrect the dreams, the hopes, the desires, the things that I have spoken to, even the beginning of this year and last couple of just even weeks that you felt a bit uneasy and just lost hope. But God is saying that now is the time to take up the words that I have spoken over your life. It is time to hope, to put our hope in Christ. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you for your goodness. And Father, we thank you, Father, that you have some great conquests for us this year. And Father, we said that we are ready. We are ready, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we just